And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game, you are looking live, actually we are, at Pete and Terry's Tavern, right here at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight, it's the Predators and the Dallas Stars. First matchup since the Winter Classic at the Cotton Bowl, and we will see how indeed that goes. The Predators have dropped their last three, and they are looking to get back on track because the next two games are against the same opponent. Tonight against the Stars, down in Big D on Saturday afternoon. It'll be a 1 o'clock in the afternoon puck drop. I'll have pregame for you started at noon. That's on Saturday. Tonight, regular time, 7 o'clock and 6 o'clock for pregame. If you are coming down to tonight's game, we're accepting donations to give back to Nashville Strong tornado relief efforts prior to the game. There's going to be a 102.5 The Game tent on the plaza from 5 until 7 p.m. Needs, things that we're looking for. If you could be so kind to drop off this morning or today before you go into the arena or tonight, that's a better way to put it. Work gloves, large trash bags, batteries, flashlights, and hand sanitizer. Once again, yep. This is what we're looking for. The game tent out on the plaza from 5 until 7 tonight. We are trying to give back. We're trying to help. In time of need because of what's happened in our city with the tornado. Work gloves, large trash bags, batteries, flashlights, hand sanitizer. That is going to be, it would be greatly appreciated if you can do that tonight. So, like I said, Dallas this evening, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame. It's going to be probably a little bit of an emotional night at the beginning, considering what our city has gone through. And there's a lot of people that have been helping out a lot, and we're trying to do our part. And if you're coming to the game tonight, I know I'm bringing a bunch of this stuff. And please stop by the game tent on the plaza and help out.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can't make it to the game tonight, we are taking donations at our radio station. Similar to what we have done around the holidays with the coat, you know, the clothes and everything. 1824 Murfreesboro Pike during business hours, 8:30 to 5:30. You can bring tarps, rolled up plastic, and then, as Darren mentioned, the hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, trash bags, all of that stuff. So if 5 to 7 tonight here at the game or at our radio station at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike.
There you go. We will talk to Mike Hyka coming up in the next segment about these Dallas Stars. And we know this time of year, I was watching the Avalanche last night. You're always scoreboard watching, checking the standings, because once you get into the final month of the season, there's things shifting a lot. And if you didn't see, one, the Philadelphia Flyers are absolutely tearing it up in the Eastern Conference. They now have 39 wins on the season. They beat the Capitals last night. But the Flames last night were hosting the Blue Jackets. Calgary won in overtime. How about this? The Ducks came back and won. They beat the Avalanche 4-3. Wow. It was a back-and-forth affair. I was watching it. Both teams had a couple goals in the first period. But how about that? McKinnon ties it up in the third, imagine that, his 34th of the year, a power play goal. And Raquel, with his 14th goal of the season, a late goal in overtime with 2 seconds left. And the Ducks beat the Avs in Denver in overtime. So Colorado with just a point. The Coyotes went into Vancouver and beat the Canucks 4-2. So what does that mean for the standings? Here goes. St. Louis still atop the Central and still atop the Western Conference with 90 points. Colorado is the second-best team in the conference, and they're in second in the division with 88 points. Dallas, the team here tonight, in third in the Central with 82. Top three teams in the Pacific, Vegas with 82 points, Edmonton with 80, Calgary with 77 now in the third spot, and the two wildcard teams are Vancouver with 74, Winnipeg with 74, Arizona, Minnesota, Nashville, right on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and don't look now. Chicago hanging around.
Well, they have 68 points. I mean, they're still a long shot, but you're right. They're not going away.
They've won three in a row.
Yep.
So, look, but here are the things that you need to know.
By the way, Vancouver's lost four in a row.
That's what I was about to say. Vancouver has lost four in a row. The Preds have lost three in a row, as we know. Minnesota has the one. Winnipeg a one. Arizona has won two in a row. So things are still jumbled up, but you got to right this ship tonight. I mean, the Predators have to win tonight. Tonight is a must win. There's no other way to put it. There's no get to overtime, get a point. They have to win this game in regulation, in my opinion.
Well, the reality is they have 72 points.
Yeah.
There's 16 games left.
Right.
They're
running out of time.
Now, look, the number is a little bit lower than the past. You know, usually it's been around 95, 96,
yep,
depending on the year, maybe even 97, but not really. 95, 96 for those wild card spots to get in. This year, I think it's probably a tad lower. Let's say 93, 94.
Right.
So if you have 72 points and you need to get to, let's just say, 93, you need 21 points out of a possible how many left?
16.
But how many possible points are left?
32.
Very good, Chase. That was outstanding.
I was told there'd be no math.
That was a question mark, too. It was like 32?
Well,
question mark?
Math. There's a reason I'm not a math major.
21 of 32. They have to get 21 points out of the remaining 32 points.
Yeah. That's
not much margin for error,
right,
in the final 16 games.
And losing three in a row doesn't help.
By the way,
that.
I'm that's going on the low number. It may take 94. I'm going on the low number of 93.
Yeah.
That puts it a little bit more in perspective.
This whole and you know, we've talked about it on this show. I did a lot of radio yesterday. Floyd and I talked about this too. Of this whole win three, lose three, 500 hockey, it's not going to work. That's not going to work for you. It's number one, it's not going to get you into the playoffs.
Not when you're on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and two, even if you do get into the playoffs, that's not going to help you either. I mean, a 500 hockey team, they're not going to win a playoff series. So they have to figure this out, and it starts tonight. Now, Dallas, there's going to be a lot of emotion in this building because we all know what happened at the Winter Classic. And Dallas has had the Preds' number this year. And
they've won both games.
Won both games. We know what happened here before
the Winter
Classic.
One of them was here 2 weeks before.
Right. That was a rough night. And then the Winter Classic, you know, Preds get out to a 2-0 lead, but the hit on Ryan Ellis changed a lot of things too early on in the game. So there's going to be a lot of emotion in this building tonight between both of these teams. They have to feed off of that and turn that into 2 points. Whatever they got to do to turn it into 2 points, they need to do. And the fact that, you know, we heard John Hines talk about the first period against Minnesota, and he said that he saw a lot of the same things that he saw in the third period against Colorado. That's a major problem. That's not coming out mad. That's not coming out with a chip on your shoulder. That's you're playing the same way? What is that? That is not the response that we're looking for from this team. So, it cost them. Now, they played better as the game went on, but they still lost 3-1. You know, you don't give those two goals up in the first period because you're coming out mad like you said you were going to. Things could be different. They got to come out mad tonight. They got to come out with something, some sort of emotion. And, you know, if they do that, then they'll win. If they don't, then we're going to be talking about four in a row.
No doubt about it. So big one tonight against the Stars. We talked about Tuesday night. I brought this up in pregame. I brought it up in postgame. We talked about it yesterday on the show. Really nice gesture by the Minnesota Wild, the Craig Leopold family, and the NHL to step up and send a total of $100,000 here for disaster relief, for tornado relief, to what's happened in our city. Also talked about what the Blackhawks did. They did their 50-50 yep, split pot raffle in their game on Tuesday night. It went for relief here, and now the St. Louis Blues in the division have stepped up and have come out and said that they too are going to hold an auction and a raffle to support everything that's happened in our community. And that all begins today. It will conclude on Sunday at 9 p.m., but their auction and raffle all starts today, where fans can bid on items like they've got tickets for future Blues and Predators games in St. Louis. They've got autographed Blues memorabilia. They've got game-used equipment. Obviously, a lot of cool auction items that people can get be a part of. And there will be a raffle for 16 people that they can get involved. So today it starts in St. Louis. It's going to run all the way through Sunday night. So they're going to try to raise a lot of money to send here as well. So pretty cool to see the hockey community, the league, and more importantly, rivals.
Yep.
Right here in the division stepping up and helping out.
Yeah, and then also just around here, the Titans donated $1 million. The NFL has donated $250,000. Vanderbilt announced yesterday they're going to be doing something similar to what we're doing tonight on the Arena Plaza. They're going to do that before the South Carolina game on Saturday, taking donations from people and, you know, dropping off items of need. So, you know, that's we're the volunteer state, but it's cool to see outside of this state, you know, throughout the NHL and the NFL, people stepping up to try and help, you know, not just here in Nashville, but Putnam County and Wilson County, everyone affected.
No doubt about it. All right, we will come back and we will talk to Mike Hyka, and we'll talk a little bit about the team that's going to be here and the team that the Predators are facing the next two games, tonight here, Saturday afternoon down there. We'll talk to Mike Hyka next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. Should have Mike Hyka here soon on the show. We are trying to effort him on the program. Covers the Stars. I was going to bring up to him, looks like Matthew Barnaby is in a little bit of trouble because I believe he ended his career with the Stars. I don't think he was there that long, but the troubles for Matthew Barnaby, life after hockey, continue, unfortunately. And the reason I'm bringing him up is because
they're Dallas here. Stars.
It was here.
Yeah.
All this happened last night. Where was it again? Did you say Crossroads?
Crossroads, yep. Down here on Broadway.
Oh, cool. Who was playing? Who was it?
I don't know. What do you mean, who was playing?
Was it like Robert Plant and Miranda Lambert? Like, who was it?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
See
there.
What I did there?
Yeah, that's good.
I can't believe the music Look, background that you have that I slipped that by you.
That was good. That went over my head.
Yeah, that was way over your head. Wow. I actually liked when they did that.
Yeah,
like,
I missed that
show.
There
were some cool things that came from
Crossroads.
Well, I think
they still do it.
Do they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while.
I think they do. I don't know if it's still CMT, but I think they do something similar. It may not even be called that, but they do like a similar crossover kind
really?
Of thing. Yeah. So
I know they. I know it was probably a decade ago when it was like when it was in its prime time, right? When they were doing it a lot. So I'd like to look that up. I'd like to know if they still do that. Last night, the OVC men's basketball tournament kicked off in Evansville. It didn't kick off. They tipped off in Evansville, Indiana. And it was our man Brian Penny Collins, head coach of the TSU Tigers. They started the tournament, and they played Morehead State. And it took more than 40 minutes to finish that thing up. They went to overtime, and the Tigers prevailed 74-67. So good
and
for
you
them.
Called it. You said that they were going to win. Now, I don't think you predicted overtime.
I guaranteed that. I was a little bit harder than I thought.
Yeah.
Thought it would be a little bit easier than that. But, you know, it is tournament time. I mean, you are in most of these teams, especially in these type of conferences, you go into every game knowing this could be your last game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have that mentality. You got to go in one game. It's that one-and-done, one-game mentality, but they were able to get it done, and they will move on. Eastern Illinois also beat Jacksonville State 67-61. So now TSU will –
Yeah, that was the nightcap game.
They will play today against Eastern Kentucky.
Yep. That game – well, tonight, 6:30 is the first game, TSU and Eastern Kentucky. Then Austin Peay, Matt Figger, and the Govs will take on
– Eastern Illinois.
Eastern Illinois. Both of those, by the way, on ESPN+. Plus. And then Friday night semifinal action will shift over to ESPNU. We'll actually have Beth DeBush on tomorrow, OVC commissioner. And then Saturday, they have their championship game, and that'll be on ESPN2. That's Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Elijah is telling us that we have made contact with Mike Hajka. He covers the Stars for DallasStars.com. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. Sorry about that. I forgot all about it.
No, you're all good. I'm surprised you're not here. We're just so used to, you know, always seeing you when the Stars come to town. So,
yeah, it was just a one-game trip. We've been coming off a bunch, so we had another guy go for me this time. And I had some stuff, some scheduling stuff I need to take care of, so there you go. Plus, I get to see the Preds on Saturday.
Yeah, I know. These two teams, that's what they're facing, each other tonight and Saturday afternoon, a little matinee hockey down at your place. By the way, I brought this up at the very beginning of this segment. I don't know if you've seen or not, but Matthew Barnaby has been a bad boy again, and he got in trouble here in Nashville last night. He's been arrested.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. And I think, because I was telling Chase, I was like, I think he finished his career with the Stars, and we looked it up, and he did finish. I know he wasn't there very long, but.
Yeah, but no, he was fine, and I enjoyed his time there, and I always like, you know, talking to him when I'm on the road. So that is unfortunate. How about we'll say that?
Yeah. So when you look right now, as the Predators have 16 games to go, Dallas is in the same spot. Both teams have played 66 games. Dallas is currently holding down the third spot in the Central. We've been talking about this. I think it would obviously take, as much as we hate to admit this, it would take a miracle for anybody to jump in those top three spots. It looks like in no particular order, or maybe it'll stay in this order, but it is St. Louis, Colorado's, and Dallas's. It's theirs. They're going to control the top three spots in the Central, and quite honestly, if that's the way it plays out, they deserve it, because they have been the top three teams in the division basically most of the year.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's good for them. The one interesting thing is, like, if the playoffs started today, the first three teams in the Western Conference would play each other in the first two rounds of the playoffs, likely. I mean, I guess if the division champ lost to the wild card team, then that would change things. But it's a tough path. You know, if Dallas has to play Colorado in the first round, and you know, if they advance, then play St. Louis. It's a tough path, but that's the way the playoffs are laid out. And it's funny that you say they've earned this. Well, I don't know what they've earned. It's great to be the division champ. You want to do that. You know, probably want to avoid the wild card spot if you can, but it's going to be really tough for these three teams, I think.
Right, because you know that first round matchup is going to be, you know, if it holds true, the Dallas is going to have either Colorado or St. Louis, and you know that's a brutal way to start off the playoffs.
Yeah, and then you're potentially fighting for the chance to play the division champ. So
yeah,
you know, it is what it is, and that's how it always works. And but you know. You play, the rules are set, and you play the way you play, and it all works out.
Let's talk about this Dallas team, the team that we'll see here at Bridgestone Arena this evening. They are stingy defensively. They're not going to give up much, but they're also not exactly an offensive juggernaut like they used to be several years ago when they would just try to outscore everybody, but they couldn't stop anybody. A little bit different now. Now they're very responsible defensively, but they're playing on a razor's edge like we saw the other night where they fell in overtime 2-1 to Edmonton, an Edmonton team that had just left here and put 8 on the Predators.
Yeah, and you know, the problem with all of this is that it's not a problem. I guess it's just the way you look at it, and it's difficult, I think, for the fans, is that this team believes in counterattack. So it will sit in its own end a lot of times and, you know, give up shots on goal. And it didn't do this the other night against Edmonton, but, you know, its analytics as far as shot attempts is not good. They're not one of the better teams. So what they do is they try and counterattack. And you would think, okay, well, then that's great. They'll get some great scoring chances. And they do, you know, different stat categories, natural stat trick for one, as from the top 10 in high-danger scoring chances, because they get a lot of breakaways. They get chances where, you know, they're right. It's, you know, a shooter in the goalie. But then their shooting percentage for the league and on high-danger chances is like 29th or 30th. So they have all these players, you know, they're up at the cap with everybody else. They got Sagan and Ben and Radulov and Klingberg and Haskinen and Perry and Pavelski, and yet they can't seem to finish their chances when they get them. And you look down the scoring leaders, and Tyler Sagan's first on the team and 50th in the league. So, yeah, it's a weird combination of things But at the heart of what they do is they limit scoring chances against, and they have two good goalies, and they go forward with that. And, you know, it's funny. I look back. Nashville fans are, you know, can understand that program because they've built a great, you know, defense over the years and always had good goaltending. So this is a lot like what Nashville fans used to see, I think, under Barry Trotz, where, you know, they didn't score a lot, but they also didn't give up a lot. So
yeah, no doubt about it.
Who they are.
As we sit here this time of year in the final month of the regular season, you know, people are banged up. Injuries are happening. Maybe even if guys are playing, they're playing through something. How is Dallas in that department, health-wise, going into game 67 tonight?
Knock on wood, I think they're great. The biggest issue with Steven Johns, who is a really good defenseman, 6'4", 225, can skate, can shoot the puck. He was out for 22 months with what they call post-traumatic headaches. They don't want to call it a concussion. It was very difficult to define, I think, even for the doctors. But he came back in late January, played well, was out for three games with an upper body injury, but now he's back in the lineup, and he will probably play top 4 minutes, play beside Miro Heiskanen. So he has been the biggest injury issue on the season. And now that he's back, I think they're very excited about what their group of defensemen look like. The forward group has been pretty healthy, you know, knock on wood. The goalies have been very healthy. Ben Bishop technically missed last game with a lower body injury, but he also skated in the morning, and he has not been playing well in his last, let's say, five or seven starts. And I think as much as that was, it may have been a lower body injury, I think they wanted him to have a reset where he didn't have to be on the bench. He didn't have to, you know, do all the routine, I guess, that he had. He had an off day Monday. He had a practice at the morning skate Tuesday. Nobody skated on Wednesday. So it'll be interesting to see if he's in tonight or if they just use him as a backup goalie tonight and then maybe use him on Saturday. But this whole week, I think, is a reset for him to try and get his mind back on, you know, I mean, he was a Vezina Trophy finalist last year. I think it was 2 goals against and 930 save percentage. So he's an elite. His goal, the numbers say he's an elite goaltender. He's been a good goaltender lately. They want to get him back to that elite status. But that's really the only injury I think they're listing right now is Ben Bishop.
Talking to Mike Hajka, DallasStars.com. And, Mike, we all know what happened the Winter Classic at the Cotton Bowl, the hit from Corey Perry on Ryan Ellis, and this will be the first meeting between these two teams since that day. And hockey's a tough sport. I think everybody that signs up for it knows that. Ryan Ellis has come out and said he has no ill will and, you know, kind of joked that maybe he'll get an open ice hit. But how much has that been discussed of maybe some of the extra emotion that could be going into tonight's game?
I think they actually like it. As strange as that sounds, when they have played revved-up emotional games, they're a better team. Jamie Benn especially is a better player. Corey Perry's Corey Perry. You know, Stars fans hated him when he was in Anaheim, and he doesn't mind playing on the edge. I know he didn't want to hurt Ryan Ellis, but it was, you know, it was what it was, and he deserved a 5-game suspension for it. I guess the question will come in who else for Dallas or Nashville wants to get involved in that. You know, right? I think Corey Perry will stand up and take whatever sort of fight that anybody wants to give to him. I guess the question would be, does Nashville feel they need to? And if they do, does that spill over to it? But the bottom line is basically all these games Nashville and Dallas play have a bit of, you know, push and shove and face wash and, you know, all that good rivalry stuff to it. I think they're Nashville's their best rival right now. You know, they're the team that they really kind of get angry about. And so I think that, to me, that's a fun thing, and I think it'd be something worth watching tonight.
How does Rick Bowness use that as a, you know, as any type of extra motivation of when you bring up that Nashville's the biggest rival right now? Does he use that as something extra?
He does not. He is an interesting guy. I love him. He's 65 years old. He drives a Corvette. He's super cool, right? But at the same point in time, he's coached for 4 decades and understands the old school way of, okay, that's something the players will take care of. I'm going to coach. I think you guys as players know what you need to do on the ice. And if I need to reel you back in a little bit, I'll do that. But I'm not going to tell you to go do it. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. He kind of lets the players do a lot of stuff. They had a game, it was 10 games ago, where Rick was sick and did not coach on the bench. He sat in the film room. And so John Stevens was the acting head coach, but he ran the defense. Derek Lextel and Todd Nelson ran the forwards, and they went out there and beat St. Louis in St. Louis after giving up the first two goals. And I think that's Rick Bonus's, you know, philosophy of coaching, is that even if I'm not here, the team can still run on, you know, by itself on autopilot. He trusts his assistants. He trusts his players. He basically, you know, wants the team to do a lot of the leading, do a lot of the motivating. And, you know, Ken Hitchcock was a lot of the same way, although Ken Hitchcock pushed a lot more buttons that way. But he would always say, ultimately, it's up to the players to lead. And so I think that's his concept of all this. And you know, he's also in a weird place of, you know, we don't even know if he's going to be the head coach next year.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. Do you foresee them pulling the interim tag off of him? I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. We'll see what happens once they get there. But are they going to let this be his team?
I think, and I have a lot of interaction with the fans on, like, newsletters and just, you know, chats and Twitter and stuff like that. And I truly, honestly believe this, and they hate it when I say it, but it's all in the playoffs. If they lose in the first round, no, he's not going to be their head coach. If they get to the conference finals, yeah, he might be their head coach. And that doesn't, and to me, that doesn't even matter what they do in the next 15, 16 games. It's what do you do in the playoffs? And that goes for players who might be free agents. That goes for, do you keep Anton Hudobin? Do you pay him whatever money it is? Do you, you know, ponder trading Alexander Radulov before his no trade kicks in? All that stuff is all going to be determined in the playoffs. And, you know, and it's going to be tough. If they play Colorado in the first round and they lose, then do you sit there and say, well, this isn't the coach for us? But what if they put up a great fight and lose in overtime of game seven? Well, then maybe he is the coach for us. So it's going to be really interesting. The other wild card in all of this is there are some good veteran head coaches who I think will be available. And so then, it, you know, Jim Nill sits and looks at this. You know, what's best for the team? Is it best for the team to have Rick Bonus continue on and do what he does, which is, you know, kind of coaching by committee? Or do you need a strong, you know, leadership type coach? And if there's one available out there, you know, would you be smart to go get that guy? So there's a lot to be determined. And I truly, honestly believe that whatever happens in the playoffs is going to shape a ton of what this team does in the summertime.
I wonder if Peter Laviolette would be on their radar.
I think he would. Gerard Gallant, I mean, he was a guy who Jim Nill played with in Detroit, and I think was one of the candidates to get the job before Ken Hitchcock got it. I mean, there's a lot of good, like, you know, if you really want to throw a wild card out there, would it be the worst thing to have Mike Babcock as your coach? You know, if Toronto's fine with whatever you deal you work out, and if he wants to come back and coach, is that something you should consider? I mean, there's a lot of options out there if you're just talking good coaches.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, Babcock with the list you've – I mean, the two guys you've already said in Laviolette and Gallant, but I think only thing you would have to do is ask yourself as a franchise, as an organization, are you prepared to deal with whatever – you know, is Babcock – is everything repaired and the image and all that? Deal with any of that stuff. You don't want it to be a distraction, and if you don't think it'll be a distraction, then, of course, he's got to be on the list. Sure.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's at least worth a discussion. There's just so many good coaches who I believe are worth a discussion. And so then Rick Bonus also is going to have to go against that, is that, is there a better coach for this team? And would Rick be fine just going back to running the defense? Because he's a really good coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, yeah, he just, it's, there's a lot going on there, but I just don't think you can make those determinations till you see how this team does in the playoffs.
How have real quick? How have Perry and Pavelski worked out for Dallas?
That's a great strength of Rick Bonus, I believe, because he understands the veteran players, and like a lot of the fans are upset that Girionoff and Hintz, the two young speedsters, aren't getting more opportunity ice time. Part of that is because they take really short shifts, and part of it is because Rick Bonus likes to roll four lines. And you know, for all of whatever criticism you want to throw at him, Perry and Pavelski, I think, are playing much better than they were in October and November. And the thought process is, once you get to the playoffs, Perry and Pavelski have the ability to raise their game to a level that a lot of other players don't. And we'll see if it happens or not, but they are perfectly positioned right now, that they should be playing their best hockey when the Stars hit the playoffs. And I think a lot of the credit for that goes to Rick Bowness.
That's the name of the game, right? Mike, really yep. appreciate the visit. As always, we'll talk soon.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
He's Mike Hyka, covers the Stars for DallasStars.com. It'll be Dallas and Nashville tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Same two teams down in Dallas Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Ryan Johansson was out of the lineup with an illness in Minnesota against the Wild. Dan Hamhuis was dealing with a lower body injury. He, too, was out against Minnesota on Tuesday night, but both have been out there at morning skate at Bridgestone Arena. So we will find out a little bit later on their status. Smashville Live last night. Chase, you yeah. and Titans punter Brett Kern.
Yeah, it was.
How did it go?
It was good. It was a lot of fun. A good crowd out at Drake's in Cool Springs. So really enjoyed that. Brett Kern is a neat guy, and he lives here now. I mean, he's from Buffalo. Originally went to Toledo, but pretty much since he has been a member of the Titans.
I actually got to was actually in and out of the car at that time, and I actually heard him bring up from Buffalo, and there was a little bit of a smattering of cheers.
Yeah,
there
was one guy that was from Buffalo, and he actually came over during a break and introduced himself and said, yeah, I'm a Buffalo guy.
Was he part of the Mafia?
I don't know. He looked like he could have been. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he might have been a part of the Mafia, but it was cool. Talked some hockey.
You just totally stereotyped that guy, that he looked like he was part of the Bills Mafia.
I mean, he's got the build.
Big husky guy.
Yeah, I mean.
Looked like he would jump off a bus onto a table.
I won't go that far. You know, I hope not.
Yeah. Well, they do some pretty crazy stuff.
I know. The guy here jumped off the bridge and landed on the sidewalk. But yeah, so it was good. It was cool to talk some hockey and a little soccer and football, obviously, and get his perspective of the playoff run that they went on. And I brought up, you know, your buddy that you know that his son is the punter at Akron. So I brought him up about what advice you would have for young punters. And, you know, he said, you don't realize how much goes into it of how you have different types of punts. And, you know, it's like a pitcher. I mean, there are different pitches, different punts, and, you know, just the exercises he does. And, you know, right now he's like, I'm not kicking. You know, when the season ends up until May, I don't kick because you got to preserve your leg and heal up and all of that. And so it's all about the exercise and taking care of your body. So I thought that was really cool to kind of get that perspective because he's been in the league for, I think he said he's going into year 12.
Unbelievable.
And punter, you know, punters and kickers, they last a while because of
if
they're good, you
sure.
know. And he's been here since I believe it was the 09 season. But we were joking because you remember in that preseason, you know, Craig Hendrick was still the punter for the Titans. They had A.J. Trapasso that hit the board at Jerry's World.
That was 2010.
No, it was 09. It was the AFL season.
With Trapasso, the preseason game was in Dallas.
Right.
At the new stadium. Their new stadium opened in 2010. It wasn't 09.
Okay. Well, so Fisher's last year.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. That's right. So that was when Brett Kern got here.
I know that because I went there the year that it opened.
Okay.
That was 2010, and the Titans went there and actually beat the Cowboys.
That's right.
In the regular season.
Right, in the regular season.
And the week prior, they were – the reason this is all coming together for me is the week prior I was in East Rutherford because they had gone in there and beaten the Giants. And that was the first year of the Giants and Jets' new home. So both of them were in their new stadiums.
Wasn't that the – was that the year – two that they wore the Oilers, because the Hall of Fame game was A.J. Trapasso.
No. See, you're getting it. Was not 2010. You're mixing up that preseason game. You talking about when the Oilers played the Bills? That preseason game at the Hall of Fame game. That was not 2010.
So that was 09.
No, that was like 08.
That was 09.
Oh, okay, 09. That was 09. Yes.
That was 09.
That was 09, yes.
But so did Trapasso play two camps with the Titans? Because he was the one that hit the
I don't know. All I'm telling you is that preseason game was in Dallas, and it was the first year of that place, and that was 2010.
Nat, you're right. I have yours all mixed
because
up. No, it was 2009. August 21st.
Well, then he was in two camps. I'm just telling you, that was not the first year.
Now,
maybe I'm wrong.
Now we're going to have to look this
up. I know, maybe I'm wrong.
AT&T
now, now I'm questioning.
Oh, now you're.
Because he was, I don't think he was there two seasons. He wasn't.
No. Are you sticking with 2010?
Oh, I feel like Tim Hasselbeck. I've got happy feet all of a sudden. I was at 0 or 100%. Now I'm starting to get happy feet. I actually can feel the blitz coming. I don't like the formation right
do you
now.
See, you see Ray Lewis?
I see ghosts.
Do you see ghosts? Jerry's World.
I'm going to say I'm locking it in 2010. I'm going to be like Hasselbeck. I'm stubborn. I'm going to lock in. I'm sticking with 2010.
Before I give you the answer, I'm looking at the text line because I know people listening. Let's see. Jerry's World opened
in
May 27th, 2009.
Oh! Really?
Yep.
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
This is why I was like, okay, we're going to have to look this up.
So the Giants, was that 2009? It was, wasn't it? It was 2009, too? No, I'm just saying, when did that stadium?
Oh, when did it open?
Yeah.
MetLife opened, because they played them in 2010.
Yeah, they played both of them in 2010. I was at both games.
Yeah, it opened in 2010. So it opened
the
next
year. So it was. So the
right.
year before.
So,
really?
So the year before, they played the Cowboys in the preseason, and the punters in camp were Craig Hendrick and A.J. Trapasso. Trapasso was the one that ran the fake punt in the Hall of Fame game and hit
yep,
the scoreboard.
That's correct.
The reason I bring that up is because people always go to Brett Kern and are like, hey, you're the one that ran the fake in the Hall of Fame game and hit the board. And he goes, nope, wasn't me. He was with Denver at the time. Now, I believe it was later that year that Hendrick got hurt. They had Reggie Hodges for like three or four games.
Yep.
And then Kern got released by Denver, and the Titans claimed him off waivers, and he's been here ever since.
Dang it. And I waged all my money, too.
I went to zero balance. You were so sure about that.
I do not get to continue on to the next round.
No. No, you're done.
So the Giants was 2010. Dallas was 2009. Well, yep. They played both of them in 2010, and the Titans beat them both.
Yep.
I was there for both. They actually went in there and beat both of them in 2010, which was Jeff Fisher's. Remember, we talked about this. They got off to the great start,
mm-hmm.
and then they went into the bye week, and they got Randy Moss, and they came out of that bye week, and
they lost
downhill.
At Miami, Washington.
Did they lose 7 of 8?
Yep. Because they only won one game after the bye.
Yeah, they won Houston. One game with Randy Moss.
Houston. Yep. But lost to Washington in overtime. Yeah.
See how quickly you can come up to the line of scrimmage and feel good, and then how quickly, before the ball is snapped, you can get happy feet? That's what just happened. I came up, we broke huddle, felt good. Oh, yeah, I like this play call. This is going to work. And then I start looking at the defense. They're moving around, and I'm like, I just got happy feet. I was like, oh, no, they know what we're doing. And I just realized, I don't think my answer's right. I started questioning it. I started questioning the call.
You did.
I felt good about it.
Question the play call.
And look what happens. I threw a pick six.
Yep.
Burm, 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 burm. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Tonight, the Predators and Stars here at Bridgestone Arena. We're here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside on this Thursday morning. Willie Donick will join us a little bit later. We would like for you, if you're coming to the game tonight, to stop by the 102.5 The Game tent in the plaza and help out. Nashville Strong Tornado Relief Efforts and we're trying to help. We would like for you to jump in there and help with us. And right now, looking for work gloves, looking for large trash bags, batteries, flashlights, hand sanitizer, all leading up to tonight's matchup between the Predators and the Stars. So it is, by the way, you can purchase tickets now and receive a Predators camo hat, which was cool. Yeah. On Monday night, they came out in the camo. And I think they auctioned off all those jerseys. A big military presence in here on Monday night.
That's military week.
Military week, yes. And they had some officers, I guess they were from Fort Campbell. And you know how Nash sometimes rappels from the ceiling, which I think he's crazy to do. I mean, crazy.
You wouldn't do it?
I would never, never do it.
I probably wouldn't do it either.
One of the guys I noticed, he came down. He did the same thing. So that bunch of them rappelled down from the
face first
ceiling with Nash. And at least one of them that I saw, because I was fixated on it, like, I cannot believe you're doing that, went down face first. From the roof of Bridgestone Arena to the ice.
Yeah.
That is not a no, but that's a hell no. Okay. There's nothing.
That's another kind of no that I can't say.
It's actually, there's other layers of no that I can't use on the air, but that is not going to happen. That would not be in my cards.
Yeah.
No chance.
No chance at all. No. My buddy was in the Army.
So, Chase, it does not, we have fun with your athletic ability or lack of. It takes no athletic ability, I don't think, really, to do that. So you're out.
Yeah, but it takes love of heights, and I don't like heights.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a no for me.
See,
that's a big no.
Okay, let me explain this to people that don't know. The whole ice skating thing and, you know, anything else that requires balance, here's why I'm not very good at it. Because when you're a tall 6'4 person like me and like you, it's a long way down when you fall. And so that's what it is.
So that's your excuse for not skating.
That's my excuse.
That it's a long ways
down. It's a
down
long way
when
down.
You fall.
You know?
So only little people, short people, they're the only people skating.
I'll just tell you this,
so
because
the fall is not that far.
We've created something with my lack of athletic ability, and now I'm going to have to get in the batting cages. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when you and Maddox.
We've already kind of seen that.
When you and Maddox go to the cages, I might have to join you.
We'll be there tomorrow.
I don't know who's going to frustrate you more, me
we'll
or Maddox.
We'll be there tomorrow. So if you want to join us, let me know.
Might have to do that.
When is that supposed to happen?
It's in the works. But
okay.
My first swing, you're just going to go. What? You're going to have your hands on your head.
Oh, there's no
Maddox
doubt.
Maddox will probably even say, "Dad, that's a bad swing."
I would have to put in more work with you than the 8-year-olds. There's no doubt in my mind that would be the case. So you would not do that. You would not do that either.
No. I would not. That would not happen.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the ones that did it on Monday night. But, yeah, that's not happening. I'm not rappelling down face first. I'm not rappelling down, period.
No,
with my eyes
I'm
closed.
Good.
It's not happening.
It's kind of like people have talked to me about, would you ever, you know, parachute out of an airplane? I'm like, why would I jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
Right, why?
Like, I'm good. I'll watch you do
like
it.
People pay to do that. I'm like, you're crazy. I ran into somebody I used to work with at a previous stop last night, and she was telling me about her son that's in the military, and he's currently down in Key West, and that he, ironically, this just came up last night, and that he just told her that he jumped out of a plane, and she freaked out, and he said, "But Mom, it was only 10,000 feet up." Oh, as opposed to what?
Right.
Like, what, 15,000? I mean, what difference does it make? Like, if it's 10,000 feet, 12,000 feet, 50,000 feet, or 25,000, what difference does it make? Like, it was almost like he was trying to – I asked her, I said, was he trying to comfort you? Like, Mom, it's 10,000 feet. Relax.
My friend was in the Army, and he did that. Like, he went through the training and everything of – jumping out of planes, he can do rappel, he can do it all. But he did it at night. He said a lot of the training they did, they had to do it at night into like a you know, wooded area.
Sure.
So you're missing trees and all that stuff and how to drive. I'm like, no, I'm good.
Once again, that's a big no.
Craig says it's easier than you think. Yeah, I don't.
What is easier than you
think?
The
rappelling. That the rappelling was easier.
No, it's, well, no, it's not really about the rappelling part, at least for me. It's just about, you know, starting at the roof.
Yeah.
And staring down at the ice below, hanging there, then going down. Like, that's a no.
We've talked about my athletic ability and my lack of balance. So I just remembered this. In the seventh grade, we went on a trip, like a class trip. And one of the things we had to do was rappel, like on the side of it. It was a short cliff. It wasn't a long way down, but you had to rappel down the side of a cliff. And so it was a rock side, and you're supposed to, you know, hang off the side, and you kick your feet, and you just kind of jump and work your way down. The first time I kicked myself off, I did it too hard, and then I just came flying back into the side of the mountain and went down.
So. If I didn't know you any better, I'd be like, come on, you're exaggerating a little. But I know that you're actually telling
the
truth.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, you are telling the truth. It's so bad for me. When we went to Toronto 3 years ago, we went to the CN Tower up on the observation deck, which looks directly into the sky. I call it the Sky Dome. I know it's not the Sky Dome anymore, where the Blue Jays
Rogers Arena.
When in doubt, go Rogers in Canada. They've got a glass floor up there. Not the whole, but they've got an area that's a glass floor where people go and they sit on it. They walk across it. The wife was trying to get me to walk across it. And it took me like 30 minutes for me to finally walk across that glass to the other side in the CN Tower. Which I think we were probably at least 1,000 feet up. I think 1,200 feet up, something like that. And I get it. It's they don't have it there because it's going to crack and people are going to. People were jumping on it, and like that. I think that's crazy. But like, no, I don't like to do that stuff. I did it, but I just don't like doing that. Heights don't. They just don't mix with me.
I am the same way.
We're not a match. We're a bad match. Me and heights. All right, we'll come back.
Casey Alexander going to join us next.
Casey Alexander, head over to the campus of Belmont. That's hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.